and welcome to Nonfiction Friends, where truth is stranger than fiction. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm here, too.
And there's someone else here with me. It's a mysterious person.
It's Rebecca.
Rebecca.
No.
We had donuts this morning. It's a good time.
We're all hopped up on Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. So how many Krispy Kreme donuts do you think you could eat, like...
In one sitting?
In one sitting.
A lot. I know that they're really sweet.
It's too sweet for me. The most I can do is maybe two or three in one sitting. And then I would probably be done.
I think three is the maximum I've ever eaten in one sitting.
I think if it was like Dunkin' Donuts, where the cake isn't like as sweet, like I could reasonably eat like probably like six or anywhere between six or eight.
Jeez. I'd like to try.
If they're my favorite kind of, like, I like strawberry frosted.
Yes.
I could eat a lot of those.
I like the double chocolate. I could eat a lot of those.
Is it double chocolate where the cake is?
It's chocolate cake with chocolate frosting.
Okay.
It's really good. We should do an episode where we just eat as many donuts as we can.
I don't think our audience would like to listen to us eat donuts. Donuts aren't even, especially like ASMR, like, because they don't really make noise when you eat them.
Maybe we should do an episode where we rate different donuts. Like, we'll get Krispy Kreme
or
and Dunkin' Donuts.
We should make donuts.
We could, but it'd be better.
I know it's very difficult to make donuts because
you have to fry them.
Yeah.
Unless they're cake, then you can bake them.
If you have an air fryer, can you reasonably make a donut?
I would say no, because the batter is too liquidy.
That's true.
It would run all over the place when you put it in the air fryer.
Okay.
This is an episode on donuts.
Surprise, it's a donut episode. No, just kidding.
Has nothing to do with what we're going to talk
absolutely
about.
Absolutely nothing to do with donuts. But in a continuation from our last episode about voting, we're going to be talking about the 19th Amendment.
Yes. Women's voting rights.
Yeah, very important. I will be covering somebody who was a very strong proprietor of that movement. And Rebecca will be covering the amendment in its, you know, in history.
Itself. Yeah, because August 18th, which is not too long ago, was the anniversary of the 19th Amendment.
Yes.
But coming up very soon is Women's Equality Day, which is the official day celebrating mm-hmm. women's rights to vote.
Yeah. This is the 26th,
yes.
I believe?
Correct.
Correctamundo.
Ding, ding, ding.
Which will be right after this episode comes out. Should
yes.
be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So... I think it would be best if you went first.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Do we have books on this subject?
We do. My book is called We the People, the 19th Amendment by Michael Bergen. In the children's section, again, 324.6 BUR. But we do have a book in the normal adult section called Supreme Court Decisions and Women's Rights, Milestones to Equality in 342.73 of the nonfiction section.
Yes.
So, you know, don't hate us because we do our research in the children's department.
No, not at all. I mean, it's the best way to get clear and concise information.
Yeah, exactly.
But we also have adult books, if you so desire, a more deeper dive.
If you've got the time to really dive in detail, then go for this book.
Yes.
If you don't, go for my book.
I'll have you know some of these children books are very in-depth.
Yeah, what I like about this 19th Amendment book is that it's got a timeline in it. It's got resources for further research. It's got important people in their years. And then it's just right to the point. That's why I like children's
Succinct.
Books.
Succinct.
Yes. Indeed. That was a good word. Okay, so... in July of 1848, starts the battle for the 19th Amendment. It is the first women's convention in Seneca Falls, New York. One organizer, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, said at the convention that we are assembled to declare our right to be as free as man is free, to be represented in the government which we are taxed to support. Boom. Because if they're like, if we're going to pay taxes, then we're going to vote.
That's a good quote.
Yep. In 1867, Susan B. Anthony and Stanton formed the National Women's Suffrage Association.
Yeah, I know that person.
Susan B. Anthony?
Yes.
I think that's the person that most people associate with women's right to vote. They also wanted better treatment for women in the workplace and the home, and better education for women. In 1878, the NWSA found a member of Congress willing to support women's suffrage, and Susan B. Anthony wrote the proposed amendment to the Constitution, the 19th Amendment, saying the right of citizens of the U.S. to vote shall not be denied by the U.S. or by and state of account of sex. In the 1890s, a few states granted women suffrage: Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and Idaho, because at the time it was up to the states, because it wasn't an official United States declaration. The amendment was proposed year after year in Congress, but always losing. In 1910, Washington, Oregon, California, Kansas, and Arizona also allowed women to vote. Also by 1910, the Women's Political Union held the nation's first major suffragist parade, led by Elizabeth Stanton's daughter, Harriet Stanton Blatch. About 10,000 women marched.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, considering at the time, apparently when they were marching, it was over a course of a few days, and they were like heckled and assaulted as they were doing so.
Of course.
Yeah. So the NWSA president Carrie Chapman Catt formed suffrage schools where students learned to speak to newspaper reporters, politicians, and lobby for the cause. Members grew from 100,000 to more than 2 million.
Whoa.
In January of 1918, President Wilson gave his support to the amendment, and the next day the U.S. House of Representatives voted, winning exactly the needed two-thirds of the vote. However, the Senate didn't support it and rejected it by two votes, which is super frustrating. That just is two frustrating. Votes.
You know, you get support from the president and everybody else, and just like.
And then there's just two dudes that are like, no, I don't like this idea. The second vote in February of 1919 failed again by only one vote.
Imagine being that person.
Yeah. Being that one person. Annoying. But in June, they voted again, and it won by two votes.
There we go.
Yeah. Once Congress approves a constitutional amendment, lawmakers in three-quarters of the states must approve it, which at the time would be 36 in 1919. In August of 1920, Tennessee was the 36th state to vote. It came down to a tie, but at the last second, two members changed their vote. And with that, all women in the U.S. had the right to vote. And that November, every woman in the United States got to vote for the U.S. president.
Nice.
So in 1971, U.S. Congress designated August 26th as Women's Equality Day, commemorating the passage of the 19th Amendment and celebrating the past, present, and future accomplishments towards women's equality. So there you go. That's why the day is such a big deal. I wonder why they didn't choose August 18th, though.
Don't know.
You ever thought about that? Like, the actual day is the 18th, but they designate the 26th as National Equality Day? I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason. Maybe August 18th was like a different holiday.
Back then? Maybe.
Maybe it wasn't a Monday or something. Because most holidays fall on Mondays, don't they? Or at least celebrated holidays, like county holidays and stuff where things are closed. Like
Rodeo
holidays.
Day.
Yeah. Okay, Osceola County. We see you.
All right, so are you done?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Full steam ahead of, you know. Are you finished?
This is my episode.
Correct. I will be talking about Belva Lockwood, who was born in October 24th, 1830 in Royalton, New York. From 1854 to 1857, she attends the
Genesee
Wesleyan Seminary and Genesee College. Man, I'm saying that wrong, right? Like Genesee?
It wouldn't be Nonfiction Friends Genesee? If we weren't saying it wrong.
Which later becomes Syracuse University.
Oh, that's better.
So much easier to say.
Why can't you just call it that?
Graduates with honors, receiving a Bachelor's of Science degree.
Nice.
Taught in a variety of New York schools, including public speaking and physical exercise to girls. In 1866, moves to Washington, D.C. and opens a private school for boys and girls. Founds the Universal Franchise Association, fighting for women's rights to vote. 1869, applies to a law school, but rejected. Told her presence would be a distraction to men.
Ugh. Gross.
1871, attends National University Law School, which later becomes George Washington University Law School. 1873, and this is the part that gets me, completes all the coursework associated, but is denied her diploma. Can you imagine doing all the work for
bunch
something?
Of jerks.
And it's like, no.
No.
We're going to allow you to do all this work, but you can't have this piece of paper.
Right. Like, congratulations on years worth of work, but no.
Writes to current school president and president of the United States, USS Grant, demanding and receiving her diploma by him personally.
Boom.
Imagine, like, just like, I'm going to, you know who I'm going
to
talk
to?
I'm
just going to go straight to the top.
Yeah, I'm going all the way.
Going to the president. Like,
here you go, ma'am. March 3rd, 1879, sworn in as the first female member of the bar of the U.S. Supreme Court, fights for widows, veterans, former slaves, and Native Americans.
Nice.
November 30th, 1880, becomes the first woman attorney to argue before the Supreme Court. She's doing a lot of firsts.
She's the first. All the firsts.
September 3rd, 1884, accepts nomination for president by National Equal Rights Party.
Ooh.
Becomes the first woman to launch a viable presidential campaign.
Another first.
Yeah. That November becomes the first woman to appear on the ballots for president.
Oh.
I just wanted to add that Victoria Woodhull is commonly cited as the first woman to run for president, but she wasn't actually old enough.
Right.
Like Belva Lockwood.
Yep.
After Belva leaves politics, she begins an effort for world peace.
Oh.
In 1906, she's just going along. She's like, I'm going to keep going.
Keep fighting.
1906, goes before the Supreme Court to represent the Eastern Cherokee Indians against the U.S. government, and she ends up winning $5 million for them.
Whoa, in 1906?
That's like all the money.
That's every money. I can't do that math. That's a lot.
By May 19th, 1917, she dies in Washington, D.C. at the age of 86. So she lived a fairly long and very busy life.
That means when she was doing her for the tribe trial, she was pretty old.
Yeah.
She was like in her 70s, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Good for her. See, a lot
She's
of people
going to the Supreme Court in your 70s. Like, you give them.
Listen here, youngsters.
I was here when this body was formed.
I've never even heard of this lady before. And she ended up being like a pretty big icon in women's history. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What book did you get all this from?
The book. Is a juvenile biography by the title of A Lady Has the Floor. Belva Lockwood Speaks Out for Women's Rights.
Nice.
By Kate Hannigan and illustrated by Allison J.
The illustrations are...
It reminds me of a painting.
Yes. They look like old China.
Yes. Yes.
Like decorative plates you'd find in your grandmother's
house.
And
it even has like the...
The cracks.
The stress cracks.
Yeah.
In them.
It's interesting.
It's an interesting illustration. You don't see this kind of like artwork or art, form.
Right.
In most children's books, but it's very nice to look at.
That's another reason to go for the juvenile literature is because they have better illustrations.
Imagine,
straight up.
Imagine, like, the reason, like, children's books so much is because, like, not only are you reading, like...
The facts
and stuff and, like, a story, but, like, you also get, like, solid art. So you're appreciating art at the same time as reading.
We
don't get that a lot with adult books.
We are really trying to sell researching in the children's department.
Hey, check out our children's books.
Yeah. They're gorgeous and full of information, but none of the fluff.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
It's like Cliff's Notes for children.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's like Cliff's Notes for adults.
If you want to look at nice art and get your information,
then
go to the children's department.
Check out a good children's book.
I mean, sure, there are some books. Like when I was looking for books for this topic, there were some that were kind of silly. Like, there was a Susan B. Anthony graphic novel.
That's so cool.
It wasn't as,
like... She's, like, holding a lightsaber.
It was a little more fluffy than what I needed, so I chose not to read that one. But for a kid, I bet that would be really cool, because they think they're reading a comic book, but they're actually, like, learning knowledge. Boom.
For sure. For sure. Okay, so on to our... what you're reading...
What are you reading?
What are you reading?
What are you reading?
The newspaper?
No.
No.
No, thank you.
Are you reading anything currently? Are you continuing to read something?
Listen, Midnight Books, Sun, you know, is gigantic, so I'm still working on it.
Let me tell you about that. So I've seen copies of Midnight Sun floating around the library for different holds for people.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a peek.
Uh-huh.
So I started reading a section of it, and I was like, wow, I haven't felt this way since, like, high school.
Right? I mean, for me, it wasn't high school. But, yeah, exactly.
But I was just like, it made me feel, it had this, like, sense of nostalgia, and I was like.
Exactly.
So I ended up putting it on hold for myself.
Yes. I heard a rumor that we might be getting an audiobook version.
We do have ebook versions, just throwing that out there.
We have ebook versions, but we might get an audiobook version. Just a rumor.
Read by who? Robert Pattinson?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be really good.
That would make my day.
Read by
just any cool person would be nice. Tom Hiddleston.
Any what about what's her name?
Who? Bella?
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart?
Yeah.
Pass. This is from Edward's perspective. Remember? It has to be a boy.
Does it?
I mean, Edward is a boy in the book, so.
It's fair.
You would think that they would continue that. That's fair. Yeah. Well, that's fine. So what are you reading? Until you get to Midnight Sun.
Until I get to Midnight Sun, so I preoccupy my time. As you know, I'm reading several books all at the same time.
Yes.
And I just.
Bounce around.
I bounce around. There is a new book that I'm currently reading called Radio Silence by Alice Oseman. Alice Oseman. One of my favorite authors, actually. She writes the webcomic Heartstoppers, the one that I've talked about before.
Yeah.
About for graphic novels and stuff. I found out she writes, like, actual, like, YA lit.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to get all over that.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up ordering, like, 4 books. Whatever. So Radio Silence is about... here, I'll read a short description here.
Yeah, go for it.
What if everything you set for yourself, set yourself up to be was wrong? Francis has been studying a study machine with one girl, with one goal. Nothing will stand in her way. Not friends, not a guilty secret, not Ooh. Even the person she is on the inside. Then Francis meets Aled. Aled? Aled. Yeah. And for the first time, she's unafraid to be herself. So when the fragile trust between them is broken, Frances is caught between who she was and who she longs to be. Now, Frances knows that she has to confront her past to confess why Carrie's disappeared. Frances is going to need every bit of courage she has. Engaging with themes of identity, diversity, and freedom to choose, Radio Silence is a tour de force by the most exciting writer of her generation.
Ooh.
She's actually recommended to people who like Rainbow Rowell, and I do,
mm-hmm.
For Fangirl and Carry On. So, starting to read that.
Very cool.
Checked it out. We have I think it's on Hoopla, and it's also on Cloud Library. I'm reading it on Cloud Library.
Nice.
So,
do you have a preference? Do you like Cloud Library's formatting better?
Okay, so I like Hoopla specifically only for comics. There's a reason yes. for that, because the way that their comic reader is set up is very nice and easy to use.
Yes.
However, Hoopla's e-reader I don't like.
Okay.
Because it's not as customizable.
Right.
Certain books just you can't zoom in on.
Oh.
And you can't change the formatting of. It's just presented as is. Meanwhile, Cloud Library, you can do whatever to the book. You can make it large. You can make it change the color scheme of and change the font and stuff. So it's just more accessible and easier to use in terms of reading books.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Their new update, didn't they just change it? Didn't they add in making it easier for dyslexic people to read it? Didn't I see that in one of the preferences?
I think so.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. Good job, Cloud Library.
Yeah, Cloud Library on top of it. Check out books from there.
Check out books.
Yeah. Okay. So, In terms of programming, as always, we're still doing online stuff. Please check it out. We got tons of new stuff coming up.
The YouTubes.
Hopefully we have some cool things in store for you guys in the coming weeks. We're working on it, so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, and you can always access older programs if you've missed something, or if you want to take a look back at, like, say, the old escape rooms or anything that we've done.
Yeah.
On our website, osceolalibrary.org, there is a separate site for programming.
Yeah, check it out.
Check
Let us know
out.
What you think. And with that, just remember, we love our listeners.
And that's nonfiction, friends.